You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show, which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today are Dr. Harry Mimsen and also Carla Lamides, and they are here to talk about an upcoming conference, which I want to say next year, but next year is just not that far away. And so we're going to talk about that. But first, this conference is sponsored by CETL. And if you're wondering what CETL is, you know, the Army has a lot of acronyms, and so does the government. Well, so does academia. And we're going to find out a little bit about that. First of all, Harry and Carla, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having us, Louis.
Now, let's talk about CETL. Harry, what is CETL?
It's a Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning on campus, and it's been here since 1995. It was part of the Model Institutions of Excellence, that big grant from the NSF that UTEP got with a number of other universities. And one of the requirements was to have a focus on teaching, more effective teaching, and that created the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning.
As far as you said you've been here 12 years?
The center has been here since 1995, going almost on 20.
And as far as working with teachers, are you talking about all kinds of teachers or just teachers in post-high school?
Mostly for the instructors at UTEP. So all the full-time faculty, the part-time faculty, as well as the graduate student instructors. And so I teach a seminar on teaching and learning for faculty and graduate student instructors. It starts again on January 16 with 2 days of workshops, on 16 and the 17th. And I've been doing that every semester for the last three years.
Mm-hmm.
As far as getting the people to, not getting them to attend, but, you know, they have conferences where people will get certain units or credits. For people in academia, that's usually not the case. However, everybody has a different teaching style, but with today's technology and whatever you're teaching, it's still a challenge now. It doesn't matter how much you know. The key is to make sure you have the students' attention and also that it stays, you know, whatever you're trying to get across the point.
Yeah, and in the last 20 years, the amount of research that has been done on effective teaching and learning has just skyrocketed. So there are lots of books out. One of the ones that I'm reading now was written by Ken Bain, and the title is What the Best College Students Do. And it's a follow-up on a book that he published back in 2004, I believe, titled What the Best College Teachers Do. And it's quite interesting, the stuff that he talks about in those books. There are lots of resources out there on teaching and learning, so many, in fact, that when you're a faculty member who was trained to do research and then are asked to go teach, especially intro classes, your preparation is lacking. And so the center is here on campus to help faculty members think about what the pedagogical principles are that will most benefit student learning. And when we look at the mission at UTEP, it's about access and excellence. And so access means that we want to provide the intelligent young people here in the region the opportunity to obtain a degree in higher education. And the excellent part then comes into play when they actually arrive here and go into the classroom. And some of our students are disadvantaged in whatever they've experienced before they come to UTEP. And so to work with them and add significant value to their lives through education at UTEP is something that is part of the mission of CETL, to help faculty members gain more understanding of what the pedagogical principles are that will help students learn what they need to learn to be competitive with anybody in the country and in the world.
Carla Ramirez is also joining us, and Carla is the program director for this program, CETL, that we're talking about. Carla, as Dr. Mimsen was talking about, discussing the fact that, people who have been trained to be teachers, some of them, like any profession, some of them are really good at it. You know, you can give them teach this class at the last minute and they'll come up with it like that. But some of them also, and you know, we all have egos, and we all have you know, things that say, well, we do this, we do that. So how difficult is it, or is it difficult, to put programs together to get teachers to tell them, you know, this is how we would want you to teach, or here are some suggestions? You're not telling them exactly how to teach, but, you know, doctors go to conferences and all that stuff. So tell us a little bit about what you do as a program director to put programs together and get lectures and other things together like this one that's coming up soon.
Okay, of course. What we do at CETL right now to tackle the effective teaching component, we do workshops throughout the whole year, and we have several formats. The first one is on, we have the Teaching Enhancement Fridays, which what we do there is we have two or three concurrent workshops by experienced faculty on different topics about teaching and learning and even tenure and promotion. So our target are graduate students, of course, that are instructors, and as well as new faculty. And we also have, of course, the full faculty retreat, which is in August of every year. And what we do there is kind of welcome our new faculty that come from different regions, and also to integrate them with the UTEP vision and new and tenure professors that they can get the experience.
As far as getting the experience, that's something that, you know, that of course comes with being there, and sometimes it means being submerged in water, you know. That's the way you're going to learn how to swim. But as far as this conference being here, I think it's been held just about every year, hasn't it, Harry, for
the
last 10 years?
It started, 10 years ago, in 2002. And it had a hiatus in 2007, but we picked it back up in 2008. And it has been growing ever since. It was a kind of a local restart in 2008. But last year we had over 200 participants, and we are trying to make it bigger this year.
Now, I'll get back to you in just a minute, Carla, because just as I asked Harry something clicked on my mind. As far as the keynote speaker that you're going to have, he is Dr. Richard Pineda, who is from our department. And tell us a little bit about what he's going to talk about, or is it a surprise? Or tell us at least, you know, how do you go about selecting keynote speakers? Obviously, somebody that interests everybody.
Right. Well, let me just say this, because Carla was talking about the workshops we do. And we try to we invite faculty, UTEP faculty, particularly those who have won the UT Region's Outstanding Teaching Award, to come and talk to us, our colleagues, their colleagues, about what they do in the classroom and how they get students engaged and really add value to their learning experience. So Dr. Stacy Sowards is one of those, and is one of your colleagues here in the department. She has won that award. And she's also done several workshops for us, as an example. And there are other faculty members that do that. So we try to highlight our own faculty and the good work they do by inviting them to do workshops and share what they have learned and their experiences in teaching and learning with the other faculty on campus. So the theme for the Sun Conference in 2013 is Context Matters. And Dr. Richard Pineda here in your department has an extensive experience with education in other countries, particularly in Indonesia. And so when we thought about Context Matters, we thought about inviting him in because of his experience in other countries. And so when you take an international context and the impact on teaching and learning and how other countries look at teaching and learning and what kind of structures and strategies they use to help students learn, that would expand the idea of context matters to beyond our borders. So not only context within your classroom, context at UTEP as a regional institution on the border, the context of our region, but also the context internationally.
Now, you're also soliciting papers for this mm-hmm. conference. Specifically, is there a topic that the papers have to be on? And as far as presenting them, would they be I would imagine that the deadline is coming up pretty soon, too.
The deadline is January 3rd, because our conference is at the end of February, and we need time to pull the programs together and review the proposals and such. The context is broad. The context matters is a broad theme, and so anything related to teaching and learning and the settings in which it occurs is acceptable work for this particular conference. We try to make it as open as possible, so that anybody who has done something in the classroom that was effective will have an opportunity to present that and share it with others. Because we really want to get the good news out to anybody who wants to listen, really. And so the conference is a venue, and a unique venue in the region, really, to talk about teaching and learning and share what we have learned in our own classroom in terms of best practices or things that were effective with others.
Carla, as you put the program together, and as Harry mentioned also about, the teaching and context matters. Sometimes, in some instances, because of the technology where it has come, people no longer use the overhead projector. They're going to say, "What's that?" Or "What's the blackboard?" What are they still doing there? But in many instances, the students know a lot more technology wise than the actual teacher. So, as far as that goes, do you have any workshops that work on some of those things as far as making the teacher, allowing the teacher to make better use of the technology for their teaching skills?
Okay, well, those are themes that are included in our SOM conference. For example, last year, or 2011, it was the theme was From Blackboard to Blackboard and Beyond. So that's where we really focused our whole conference on the whole technology and how it can benefit our students in the classroom or outside, or if it's kind of like the enemy. Many people would think that as well. So that's what we really...
If people are interested in presenting papers or registering for this conference, do they have to contact your office, or how does that work?
Yes. Well, we have our website, which is ctalweb.utep.edu/sun. And in there, you will find all the information regarding the conference from the theme. We have the different proposal formats. We have four, which are roundtable discussions, poster presentations, best practices in teaching and learning, and the scholarship of teaching and learning. We also have the registration fees, which right now are, it's really a bang for your money, right?
And as far as limit, do you have a limit where you have to cap it, or is it just open to as many people can come?
Open to as many people as one at that.
And what day of the week is that, Harry?
Thursday and Friday, February 28th and March 1st.
Can you give us kind of a guideline as far as what can people expect? Because I know you said there will be roundtable discussion, poster presentations, and people who are registered might want to find out a little bit, like, an itinerary, if you have an itinerary that's preliminary right now, because I know things change at the last minute. Mm-hmm. But what can they expect?
Okay, sure. On Thursday, February 28th, we start with pre-conference workshops. And these are also by our YouTube faculty. As Harry mentioned, we have the Outstanding Teaching Award winners present, or the CETO faculty fellows as well. Then we start with the opening of the conference. That starts at noon. So registration will be open that day on site, starting in the morning at 10 a.m. way until 2 p.m. So people can feel free to come in and register over there as well. Then we move on to, we have the lunch, of course, the plenary session, which I think on Thursday is Dr. Marsha Lovett. Mm-hmm. She's our keynote speaker. Then we move to podium presentations, and afterwards we have the poster presentations around 4 p.m., and we have a cash bar as well, so people can network and collaborate and have a little discussion on teaching and learning.
That's something you don't do in the classroom, right?
It's not cash bars.
It's not a lab exercise.
No, cash bars in the classroom.
as far as, you know, I just clicked that we haven't said where the conference is going to be as far as what location.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's going to be in the Union at the Tomas Rivera Conference Center.
And you gave a website, but is there a phone number that people can call for additional information?
Sure. They can call my line, which is 747-8793.
Let me just plug two things. One, you talked about the technology earlier, and the we have ISS on campus, Instructional Support Services. They do a lot of that. It's kind of their charge to do online education and help faculty members learn software that they can use to create things to use in their classes. The other one is going back to the conference. Our keynote speaker, Dr. Marsha Lovett, is a co-author of a book entitled How Learning Works. And I would recommend that to all faculty members. Anybody interested in teaching ought to take a look at that book. And so she's going to be talking about that when she comes to the Sun Conference.
It's interesting that you talk about, you know, teaching. Well, I mean, that's what we do at an academic institution. But a lot of people still think that teaching is, you know, sitting in an auditorium or a classroom, watching a professor. So this is, I guess, an idea where peers can get ideas from each other saying, oh, yeah, I think I'll try that in my class. I've never heard of that. I think I'll try that. And the fact that, you know, if that's a good way for them to learn the material, then why not try it?
That's exactly why we have the Sun Conference, mm-hmm. for faculty members and teaching assistants as well, to share what is working in terms of helping students learn. And technology is another one of those tools that we can use to engage students. In the old days, it was the blackboard and pen and paper. Now we can do it on an iPad and the good old PowerPoint. But the tools have become more sophisticated and more complicated. And so that makes it even more demanding for faculty members who have been trained to do research to get their head, so to speak, around what is out there that I can use effectively in my classroom, because I am going to get evaluated by the students and by my boss on how well I'm teaching. And so the Sun Conference is here to help faculty members learn from each other what works well and what they can use effectively in their classroom. Because it's a continuous education and learning process in higher ed, as you well know. You know, we arrive with a certain skill set and then come to find out that we need to expand our skill set.
It's interesting, as you mentioned, it's not an easy job by any means, because, you know, some people think that, well, because they're an expert in something, that they can get up there and talk about it. But as you and I know, and you, Carla, we've seen people who get up and talk spontaneously, and they don't do a very good job because they're so nervous, or the fact that they may know a whole lot, but as far as presenting the information, it takes a certain skill on how to do it and keep their attention.
Well, exactly. And one of the principles, the first principle in that book by Dr. Lovett and her colleagues, is students bring preconceived notions to the classroom, and they bring a certain level of understanding. Once you have attained your PhD, your understanding of the topic is so in-depth that you may actually confuse the entering students and talk about things that they can make no connection with. And so learning how to take all that intricate knowledge of your discipline and explain it clearly to someone who is smart but has no background in your discipline is a skill that we are not taught when we get PhDs. And so that's the pedagogical piece of it, to make that complicated knowledge understandable to novices who are entering our discipline. And there are methods and ways and techniques and strategies to do that and do that well, so that the students become interested and engaged and want to learn more about your particular discipline.
And I think you know, what you just said goes both ways. It goes for the students and for the teachers, because the student may think, as you said, wow, this teacher's talking way over my head. I don't mm-hmm. know what's going on. And the teacher may also think, you know, what's wrong with these kids? Why don't they know what – and not realizing that, you know, they've been in school a lot longer and they know a lot more. And it's just like when I have people, you know, some of my students write stuff or talk in my announcing class. I tell them, you know, speak or write to express, not to impress. And sometimes to impress people, they use the big words or they'll use these big things. And instead of impressing somebody, they're confusing the student.
Yeah. And again, that gap between the expert and the novice is usually the stumbling block for learning. Like you said, the teacher wondering what's going on with the students because they don't understand. Well, it's the teacher's responsibility to understand who the students are and what they know, what they come in with, and then connect with that level of understanding and take them to a level that is appropriate for the undergrad or the graduate that they need to be competent when they get out of the degree. And so to gauge that and then build exercises and experiences that take that further and add value is the hard part of teaching. And we now know the principles better than we did even 15 or 20 years ago, how that works. But it's something that we are not taught when we go through the PhD. You know, so the PhD is uniquely focused on creating new knowledge. But then to communicate that new knowledge and understanding to a new group of young persons is a whole different skill set. And so what we try to do in CETL then is to help faculty think through what does that process look like? What do I need to do to prepare for this particular learning experience, this class, in which I'm going to be working with a bunch of young people who have limited experience and knowledge in my discipline?
And what about performance and experience, because you talk about the novice and the PhD who has the experience. What about when you have someone who has been teaching for 20 plus years and then you have a younger person who maybe has been teaching 5 years or so and the older person, more experienced person, doesn't want to learn the new ways? This is the way I've been teaching for years and it's always worked, and sometimes, you know, because it's hard, like they say, to teach old dogs new tricks.
Right. Well, old dogs can learn new tricks. I'm an example of it. I learn new tricks continuously. But the question is, how do you know it's working? What is working and what is not working? And it's a continuous process, a process of continuous improvement. If you do not buy into that, you know as well as anybody that then you stagnate and you do get out of touch. Change is difficult. And so within higher education, learning should be a lifelong endeavor for both the students and especially the faculty members, because even their discipline changes. And that's why there are so many professional conferences, to stay up with the content change in your discipline. None of the disciplines are static. They all change. And so, you know, I'd like to think that our faculty are always interested in the changes that occur within their discipline and are interested in conveying and communicating those changes to the students. And I have I more enjoy working with the students now than I did even a number of years ago, because I've learned and continue to grow. And so now I look at my class as a professional preparation session, and I told them that this past spring. You're here now in a professional development event that this happens to be a class and lasts for a semester. But you're working on becoming a professional, and I will help you by creating exercises and engaging you in various exercises and activities to become the professional you want to be. The content is here to work with, but we'll do other things that will take you to a higher level. So that's my mission. I want them to walk away from here, from UTEP, confident and competent in the discipline that they've chosen. And in my case, that's kinesiology.
And of course, you, Carla, your mission is a little bit of everything. Harry here is perhaps piloting the lunar module and your mission control, where you have to make sure that everything falls into place so that this conference works. You know, failure is not an option. But because of technology and what you we've been talking about, you have to keep up with all that as well, because as we all know, we can go out and buy a computer today and tomorrow or next week, it's already outdated. They already come up with an upgrade. So how do you make sure, as far as finding out, you know, what's the latest in teaching, talking to Dr. Meeson and perhaps saying, you know, what we need to probably do something on this, what do you think, et cetera. Tell us a little bit about how you prepare yourself for, you know, future training sessions, or do the teachers come to you and say, I think we ought to have a conference on this or a training workshop on this?
Okay. Well, as a student myself, I mean, I'm working right now on my master's in business administration. So I've been having actually really interesting discussions with my professors, where it's not a traditional lecture in the MBA classes, of course not. So what we do is discussions about different cases, and I think that has helped me a lot in order to become more of an analytical thinker. And I think that's one of the best approaches that I've seen in my experience as a student in order to be, as a professor was saying, right now, as we have globalization and all of that, our most important assets are the intangible assets, which are the human minds, of course. So it is our effort, and it's required of us as a community in El Paso to become excellent teachers and excellent learners, no matter at what level you are, in order to keep up with this world and make El Paso successful. So I think this is one of all the goals of the Sun Conference as well.
We have about a minute left, so if you don't mind telling us again the dates and the time and the place.
Okay. So the Sun Conference is going to be held at the Tomas Rivera Conference Center. It will be on February 28th and March 1st of 2013. You can find all of the information about the conference on citalweb.utep.edu/sun. You can either call us at 747-8793 and also via email at cital@utep.edu.
Well, Carla, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Carla Ramirez and Dr. Harry Meeson with CITL, talking about the Sun Conference, which is coming up in February 28th, and also March 1st. If you need additional information about the conference, you can call 747-8793. That's 747-8793. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Louis.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.